This is Climate Talk Uganda, and I am Josephine Karungi here in the studio with William Sechiranda. William, do you cycle? Ride a bike around Kampala? Ever?
Bike? Bicycle.
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 Yes.
I've ever.
You've ever?
Yes.
In Kampala?
In Kampala. I used to go to campus riding a bike. That is 2016.
What was it like?
It was good, generally. Just that it was kind of hectic because I was from very far. I didn't have transport to take me to campus. I was from Kachiri, that is around 30 kilometers.
From Kachiri to Makere?
Yes, to Makere University. Ooh. Yes.
Every day?
Every day, and I was on the evening program. So I used to leave at around 10, 11 back home.
On a bicycle?
On the bicycle.
What safety measures did you have in place?
I didn't have any. It was my power. And, I didn't have a choice. I didn't have transport, so I used to ride. Okay, the one that I know, there are two kind of bicycles. There's this one, which is the old one, the traditional one. We call it Maniga Chifuba.
So the strength of your chest?
Yes, you use your chest. You know, to put gears, it's kind of hectic. And there's this one, kind of auto. It has some gears. We call it changer. Changer because it changes gears. We call it changer. Yeah, so I used to have changer. And I bought it at 200,000.
That wasn't a new bicycle, was it?
No, old one.
Okay.
Yes, old one.
So what time would you leave Kachiri to then come to town, to Makere?
The program started, our program, the evening program was starting at
five. Okay.
Yes.
So you'd set off?
I was set off at 2, 1, 2, but basically 2.
So it took 2 hours?
2 hours.
And then 2 hours back, so you were getting home at midnight?
Night, it's kind of challenging because you don't have enough light. The streets, they don't have enough light. So you have to be so careful. And reducing speed, so you can't ride as fast as day.
I have maximum respect for you. And, on a normal day, but
yes, and the incidents that actually took me off from not riding the bike, and I went to my parents and I told them I would die because someone. Okay, there are several incidences that I was, taking me into. Accidents and so on, but I would escape. God would actually help me. But this one was almost taking my life. I remember one incident. It was on Namungona. It's called Namungona roundabout. Mm. There was roundabout by then.
Mm.
So as I was moving, turning around, there's a kind of jam. The guy hit me of the car. He was trying to fix himself, so he hit me. And the riders, what we do? At least you give in the bike. And
not
then
your life.
And then you bounce. So I gave in the bike, I bounced, I load on the tarmac load, and God was good that no car
coming.
No, the cars were there, but they were on the low speed, so everyone instantly stopped. So, people screamed, he knocked him, he said where? Then they picked me up, and then the owner of the car, of course, he took responsibility of, went in the mechanical, then they fixed the car, the bike. Actually, I left him with the bike because it was night. I left him with the bike, so I gave him my number, and then he gave me his ID, national ID original, that I would trace. So he called me in the morning, come and pick your bike. They're already fixed, so go. Then, that's how I escaped, and then I said I couldn't, but I managed to ride. And it's good, JK. You need to.
William, first of all, I don't know how to ride a bicycle, but you have just convinced me right now that I'm not sure I want to ride a bicycle. But let's see how I feel by the end of this episode that we're just about to get into. You might have seen Owiny Hakim on TV here in Uganda or heard him on the radio. Maybe you've even passed him in Kampala in your car or on the bus. He's an environmental activist, he's a civic educator, and he's a proud wearer of a neon green cycling helmet. He has a black one today, though. He's all about getting out and doing things. In 2019, he walked from Uganda to Addis to highlight the African Union's Agenda 2063. And in 2023, he cycled from Uganda to Nairobi to highlight the importance of safe cycle lanes. And he's pretty much made it his mission in life to make cycling an easy way for people to get around in Kampala. Which means two things: getting people on their bikes and making the city better for cyclists. So first, Hakim, welcome to Climate Talk Uganda.
Thank you. Honored to be at Climate Talk Uganda to highlight on some of the challenges we face as a community.
And solutions.
And solutions as well.
I was going to ask you how you got here this morning, but I'm seeing the helmet.
Every day is a car-free day for me. And when I tell people cycle, I'm not driving, I'm cycling. And we know our city is choking in air pollution, so one of the solutions I demonstrate, I display, I put in people's faces, let's get on the bicycles. It will improve on the air quality in our city. We are going to reduce on the travel time. People spend almost a half of their life commuting in Kampala.
In a taxi, in their cars, in traffic jam.
And all that.
Was there ever a time before bicycles for you?
There was a time before bicycle for me. But from childhood, going from northern Uganda, bicycle is a thing. We grew up seeing our aunties, our moms, cycling distances to take grains to grinding machine, because those are like very luxury to get. And yeah, if I find like a community where your staple food is posho, you have to harvest maize, take, and this were like 40 kilometers I'm talking about.
Where in northern Uganda are you from?
I've been in all places because of displacement. Originally, Agago, a place called Adilang. So if you know Abim district is only 13 kilometers away from my place. Then Kitgum, then Gulu, then Pade. I've been in all those places.
Which one is the bicycle city of northern Uganda? I think I have an idea, but
all northern Uganda bicycle villages or cities or sub-county.
Lira, no?
Surprisingly, Lira has made its name in bicycle. You may think everyone in Lira is cycling two bicycles, because the population of bicycles in Lira city are more than people, like everywhere, every corner you see. Actually, bicycle is a thing, because even when you're like looking for a date in Lira, the lady asks you, do you have a bicycle? That's a joke, by the way.
When you were coming this morning, how was your trip?
The trip was good. What drives me insane in Kampala is people who don't respect roads, traffic, safety rules. And the two-wheelers are chronically violating traffic safety rules. The cyclists, the border, seem like they're immune yet to traffic safety rules. So that, and they kind of laugh at me when I stop at red lights. They're like, what are you doing here? They look at me like a madman.
They're hooting. You're in our way. Get out of our way.
You're in our way.
What's your, from your cyclist's lens, how would you describe Kampala?
Well, there's a lot of work to be done. We, as the people in Kampala, there's some challenges we need to address, all of us. Instead of pointing fingers, we need to work together to address serious challenges in our city. Otherwise, Kampala may be unlivable in the next couple of few years. And this is, I know these are like bold statements I'm making, but this is from my observation. When you see how we drive, the kinds of cars we drive, when you see how we handle waste, just burning rubbish and causing a lot of pollution in the city, the traffic congestion, the economic losses we incur as a city in traffic losses, the amount of hours, human resource stuck in jam right now, the air pollution. Kampala needs a serious bailout from the air pollution. When you go to Lung Institute, Cancer Institute, you may, like, these are scary things. And we keep seeing, if we keep seeing them, like the way borders in Kampala see traffic lights, we're in a dangerous space. And
this something, some of the things we need to sit down and discuss and find a way out. And
Hakim, the life you've chosen, the thing that you're passionate about, has taken you to a number of cities. I know this one for a fact.
Yeah.
How, what do you see that's extremely different, that's working for other cities that we need to know about?
And it's from the observation. Like, I've been to cities, I participated in cycling events or e-mobility parades in cities like Nairobi. They have their challenges, but institutions and community, they are working together. They are making attempts to address some of these challenges. Recently, Addis Ababa just went through transport revolution. They are like revolutionizing their cities. They are like widening roads, prioritizing safe cycling lanes, pedestrians' ways, and to reduce on, because the cities are growing. And today we are defining modernization as in urbanization. So when you say urbanization is basically equal to nature loss,
mm-hmm.
and the mode of life we choose, the urbanization, the kind of prosperity we choose, if it's equal to nature loss, it puts us in a dangerous space as the people. When you go to cities like, when you read about traffic, like road development policy, like in Tanzania, they prioritize pedestrian first, then safe cycling lane, then whatever remains, the one remains for the cars.
In Uganda.
Cars. It's a conversation we're having. Of course, you. And again, I, from the advocacy, activism, or civic standpoint, I have arrived at a point where I don't want to point fingers at people, because whatever informed the existing or the knowledge the institution based on, it's based from the public. When public are not asking critical questions on how we are managing our natural resources, the political will is not going to be there. The institutional will is not going to be there. So how do we wake up the 99% of the population to ask environmental, to ask climate conscious question, and that will inform our cities are there, get developed.
And that 1% is also part of the population.
But that 1%, well, they have access to resources, they have access, they make decisions, but also you have to understand this from the human motivation standpoint. Sometimes if there's no pressure pushing you to do something, you're not going to do it.
You give the people what they want.
You give the people what they want.
Or you give them what you think they want.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the dilemma we find ourselves in. So how do we wake up the 99% to start asking serious, like, climate-conscious question, environmental-conscious question, and also revolutionize our culture? We live in the way that enable us to use our environmental resources in a sustainable way. So there's no direct answer. We are making attempts. We are right now with you here talking. We are making attempts to address some of these challenges. So you're doing your communication. You're using a communication space to shed lights on the shadows of climate change that they are going to give us. So the community need to wake up. Institutions need to wake up. Students, parenting, cultures need to wake up. We need to revolutionize everything and change on how we approach our challenges.
I like that you're constantly bringing in the climate change angle, just even the words. What do you see as the benefits of cycling to the climate that we are finding ourselves in, this very changing climate? How does cycling come into play? Why is it a big deal?
For me, cycling is a low-hanging solution that we can easily adapt. That, first of all, mobility or transport is core of any prosperity or human endeavor. For you to move from, to be here, you move from somewhere. You may not have had breakfast yet, but or lunch, but at least you made a mobility from point A to point B to be here. That shows how important transport is. And cycling can easily move you from one point to another, use a very small space. That means it's not resource intensive, like, say, using a bus or using a car. And if massively adopt cycling as a population, a resident in Kampala, we are going to see, like, we're going to reduce on, first of all, we're going to reduce on our transport cost. It's economically very viable. Guess how much my transport, budget month is.
How much?
It's hardly 10,000.
What?
It's like I charge my bicycle on Yaka. It cost me 700, like full charge, and I use it for 3 days.
700
shilling.
Like 700 shillings.
700 shilling. Then I use it for 3 days. So my transport cost in 3 days, including even coming here. Like I don't have to think about transport. It's basically that's a, like transport cost. I attend all these meetings, stakeholder engagement, visiting different companies in industrial area. Like I don't think about transport. And in the process, I'm fit. So if massively, as the population in Kampala, let's say a half of it, adopt cycling, we're going to reduce all the transport cost. You may think that, okay, Kampala is hilly, cycling is hard. There's electric bicycles. Electric bicycle may come at a fee of maybe like 3.2 or 3.5. But when you look at the hours you spend in traffic jam and amount of transport you spend every week and you factor it, you easily spend 4 million in transport in the year without knowing, just because you spend small. The other angle I want to tell you that, do you know that Uganda, we spend close to $2 billion to import fuel to run our mobility in Uganda, like transport, mainly transport. Well, it goes into other things like industry, but mainly it's for transport. So $2 billion to economy like Uganda.
There's $2 billion in what?
In fuel cost.
In a year.
$2 billion. $2 billion. In economy. You know, economy is a very interesting. Now we are linking climate change to economy and how it affects us. It's a circular form. So once you have a leakage, and now this is not a leakage, this is a pour. $2 billion from Uganda, where you find the unemployment rate is high, the education quality is questionable, the health issue is questionable. Yet we have resources we are not using efficiently, like hydropower, we have sunshine. These are renewable energy that we can easily tap into and save this $1 billion to invest in other ventures where it can give us economic stability and other development stability. But we're just pouring it and burning it.
This is just Kampala. You're making me want to turn off my car when I'm in traffic. This is just Kampala, not the country.
This is Kampala. Because this is where the traffic jam is intense. Now, imagine the financial cost of just that car idling. Like, you're burning fuel, but also, like, the impact of that fuel on the air. So, we are in a bad space if we don't change our way, if we don't change how we behave, how we interact with these resources. Air is one of the most important resources. And when the air quality, like, drop or reduces, which is Kampala air quality is very questionable, lot of people are sick. People are incurring their money.
In hospital. It feels like there's a lot of people cycling, but then we just don't have the road network for it.
You need to start somewhere. You know, like when it comes to climate action, it's like a chicken egg question. Where do you start? If you go to, my first encounter was like, the reason why we don't design roads with safe cycling lane in Kampala, because Uganda don't cycle. And that's a genuine reason, because when from the engineering standpoint, when you don't see people doing something, you won't provide for it. That's the engineering mindset. You need to see a problem for you to address it. But again, you're like, okay, the other question now is like, maybe they don't cycle because there's no safe cycling lane. So how do we approach this?
But what's that? I don't understand that argument, because the same lane that a bicycle would use is the same that a motorcycle would use, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and Hakim, you know how many motorcycles are in Kampala alone.
That's a genuine concern. But let's first put the lane there. At least it's better than, that's a beginning. Let's first address one issue at hand. But also, like, being in this space of advocating for self-inclusive roads, the number of stakeholders involved, that's something we don't see from outside. A person who designed a road is different from the person who makes the decision if that design is going to be taken on. It's different from the person who's financing the road. It's different from the user as well. And most of the user don't have even a say. But when the road is established, the person who financed the road, they have no right over it. You know, the user become the main stakeholder. So they're like
different level of stakeholders' engagement. So all this intricate, you can only understand it and approach it in a very dialogue solution-providing way once you're in it. And these are things I've learned over time. Like, okay.
You're doing the work?
It's very easy to be out and blame, but are you taking steps to understand how these things are done? And now, when you talk about the air quality, I'm not an expert in air quality. I need to build allies. That's where the Air Corps comes in. They have a scientific gadget that measures air quality in the Kampala and the implication they study this. Then the School of Public Health, they know, okay, what is cycling and walk? How can it improve on the public health of the population? So you need to work with different. So for me now, my work in this space on how do we mobilize ourselves as a community to address some of these challenges.
You have an e-bike.
I have an actually, yeah, we make e-bikes.
When you say we make, you are part of the team that makes?
I work for the team that makes the e-bike.
Tell me about these e-bikes.
It's EB, so E-Mobility Uganda. It's a company started in Kenya in 2021. We have only been in Uganda for the last 1 year. And I got to know them because of my cycling advocacy activity and started working with them. Basically, they designed these bikes for African market. They're now operating in Nairobi, Kampala, and Kigali. So the idea is also, how do we promote transition to green mobility? How do we decarbonize the economy? So that's the whole idea. So we sell them, we rent them, we employ young people, we run a fleet. You might have seen young people with global bags. So these are youth we get from resource-constrained communities and coach them, mentor them, give them a bike for free. But every delivery they do, we do like revenue sharing. So
okay.
We kind of give them an income on routine. Some of them have moved on. We've seen like for the last 1 year, a number of them just transitioned to bikes. They go to electric bikes or they get other businesses. And that's a story we've taken pride of, that they're giving them a beginning. And these are like jobs being created in the green mobility space. People think that creating green jobs is going to be challenging. Yes, it's challenging at the beginning, but these are like various attempts we are making towards climate actions.
Does it worry you? I'm thinking about you on your bicycle. You're out in this air. What's your biggest worry?
Actually, I get scared when I'm thinking about something that only serves me. Like, and even that is my prayer, that if whatever I'm going to do serves only me, may life strike me with a thunderstorm. Because that is very selfish. I start getting worried. But if I have like a bigger vision that serves everyone, I don't even think. It may be as risky as ending today, and I'll go for it.
What's your bigger vision now?
My bigger vision, thanks for asking that. I vision seeing Kampala with self-inclusive roads, pedestrians are safe on the road, cycling are safe on the road, Kampala is green, everyone is enjoying their lives, it's a healthy city, it's prospering, and that's why I'm interested interacting with health experts from the Makerere School of Public Health. I'm interested to interact with engineers at KCC, that how can we achieve this? And with engineering, with solutions we have today, with dreams, with vision of young people in engineering space, these things can be possible.
Activist and cycling advocate Owin Hakim. And you can find out more about his work by following the links in the show notes for this episode. William.
Yes, please.
Has this made you more likely to ride a bicycle again?
As long as the roads are fixed, we have a ride lanes, and then pedestrian lanes, and then the car lane. Because it's mingled, it's a mixture. The pedestrian is competing with the car.
And there's a boda-boda guy.
And there's a boda-boda guy.
And then the bicycle guy.
A bicycle guy. So it's mingled. There, I don't... By the way, I have a bicycle, but it's at home. What I do, I use it going to buy some simple stuff on the shop. Then I bring it back. I don't engage myself in the on the highways and traffic stuff.
Would you buy an electric bicycle?
I would. It's nice. Yes.
If you like the podcast, please give us a review wherever you're listening from and share it with your networks. That's easily the best way we can get the word out about the conversations we are having in the show. Thanks and see you next time. For Climate Talk Uganda, I am Josephine Karunji and
William Sachiwamba.